spilling the tea on Hollywood's A-listers.
I think that Drake is just being a misogynistic, you know, jerk.
Exposing scandals.
Cheating on me again. Oh, let's get married.
Digging the dirt.
Honestly, I don't know how much more rich she could get. Feels a little bit greedy.
And finding out what's happening behind the scenes.
He said in a couple of sentences about why he would never have a baby with her.
His identity is a secret, but he's broken some of the biggest scandals in Hollywood. It's Anti-Lawyer on Katie and Ed.
Anti!
Hola!
How are you?
No. Well, I'm better than you. You know, I heard you had an emergency. And you know what? When the public health department calls, you got to do it. You just got to go down there, give them the blood sample. So
exactly.
I'm proud of you.
Exactly. That's what it is. Just a quick swab. Make sure I wasn't at the crime scene.
All is well.
All is well. I love it.
Anti, something that happened this week that was maybe for some people out of the blue was finding out that Jonah Hill is a bit of a misogynist.
I don't even know if that it's so much a misogynist as that he's just always been a jerk. And I think that just people are kind of figuring out that this is just one more avenue of jerkdom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you go back in time to, say, when Brad Pitt let Jonah Hill use his house in New Orleans, this was after they did Moneyball, and I don't remember if Jonah was filming something or just wanted to go for Mardi Gras. I don't even remember the exact details. I just remember that he trashed the house and that he and Brad Pitt haven't spoken since.
Oh, dang.
No, I've never heard this.
Your fellow Canadian, Jerry Baruchel, said basically that, you know, he's not acting in that movie with Jonah Hill, that he hates him so much. He actually hates him that much in real life. So,
dang. Wait, which movie? Was that the caveman one?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Which ones were they in together? I'm trying to remember. They were in two movies together, weren't they?
I feel like they were in 50 movies, and I can't identify any of them because they all came out within like a year.
Yeah. And, you know, Seth Rogen doesn't really talk to him anymore. Another Canadian.
Really?
You know, it's just like, and one of the things that I saw this great tweet is like, okay, so Judd Apatow had this little group of people, you know, and how come they stopped making movies together? And the reason was that Jonah Hill, nobody wants to make movies with him.
No kidding, really?
So then you got that whole kind of background. Now, let's look at it from a different perspective. Let's look at it from, okay, should this ex have done all this stuff and tweeted all this stuff long after the fact, after they broke up?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What exactly was the point of waiting all of this time to do it? Some people say, oh, she wanted to get back together with Jonah. Some say, well, she wanted to warn his current, person.
Yeah.
You know, girlfriend. But, you know, maybe that she could have done that a long time ago before Jonah and his significant other had a child together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think that there are a lot of people who go, well, I don't really want my, my significant other to be posting thirst traps either, you know? And so I think that there's a lot of people who are like, all right, I see that. But at the same time, he's like, oh, I don't want you surfing with men. How did Jonah meet her? Surfing.
And it's like how she makes money. She's a surfer. Like, it's kind of wild to me.
Yeah, and apparently, though, she lost money after they stopped being a couple. What I would like to know more than anything is whose idea was it for them to always be wearing matching outfits? That's what I wanted to know.
If
you go back in your book, it's just like every single one, it's like this matching outfit thing, and it's really kind of bizarre. Then the whole thing, the only issue I have, look, I to what boundaries and all that kind of stuff, and the therapy speak and stuff that Jonah's doing, look, I'm a gossip guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, Jonah did have this documentary thing or whatever that he made about his therapist and how much love he has for his therapist.
Right.
I mean,
yep.
Right. So this is the therapist that was seeing them for couples therapy. So did the woman have a chance, right? Because Jonah's expressed all of his undying love to this therapist. So, it feels like maybe they should have found a different therapist to handle their couples therapy.
Well, it was
rather than somebody that Jonah idolized,
right?
And, you know,
it was interesting to me too, like the fact that you know, he's got a baby now, and she's like, "Oh, well, I'm going to put this out, and I'm also going to let everyone know that you were sexting me, basically, while you were dating this other woman."
Yeah.
Well, there is this very blurry line between the two relationships.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, they were dating in 2022, I want to say, and, you know, we're in July of 2023, and there's a baby, so... You know, obviously there's a lot of overlap here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Jonah's a bit of a Nepo baby, wouldn't have probably had a career without the Neponess.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the thing is, you never hear anything about his sister being that way. And, I mean, his sister crashed and burned in My Fair Lady.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, really crashed and burned, like horribly crashed and burned. But you don't really ever hear anything bad about her. So Jonah apparently got all the a-holiness. And if you go look, I mean, just everybody's like, oh, look, he treats everybody like a jerk. If you're on a set with him, he'll treat you like a jerk. If you're a PA or whatever, he'll treat you like a jerk. I mean, you just, there's nobody out there that ever has anything kind to say about him. So had I heard about the way he treated his ex? No. But when she wrote all that, I was like, oh my god, I'm shocked. No, not at all. Wasn't shocked. It was like, okay, it just shows that he treats everybody in his life, even the people he's sleeping with, just as bad as he treats people on the street.
I hate hearing that.
I feel like we've spent the last couple of years, this is going to sound really bad, but you know, he came out and was like, look, I'm not going to do red carpets anymore for my mental health. And look, you know, I don't want people asking me about my weight anymore or my appearance and all of this stuff. Like, I think this is going to sound bad. Maybe I shouldn't say it.
No, say it. Say it.
Well,
do it. No, I said it. Go say it, because I said things when he did that.
Yes.
So you go ahead and I'll back you up.
Okay. He just plays the victim really well.
Here's the thing. I wrote about it when he said that he wasn't going to do red carpets anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. So what you're basically telling producers is that you want to take a big old check from them,
mm-hmm,
and not do what they're paying you to do. Producers aren't paying you to act in a movie. Producers are paying you for being Jonah Hill and for promoting the movie.
Yeah.
That's what producers are paying you for.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is not kidding. Look, as much as I hate Tom Cruise as a human being, if you look at what Tom Cruise does to promote a movie, that is what every producer wants every actor to do. That's the bar. He and The Rock are basically the bar of what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Opposite of that is what Ezra Miller was able to do with The Flash. Okay? Where, you know, Ezra's not even able to go on a red carpet, except for the one premiere. Ezra's not able to promote the movie. Ezra can't go on talk shows. Ezra can't do anything because Ezra is a toxic human being.
Right.
So that's the bottom, and then The Rock and Tom Cruise are at the top. So Jonah Hill's one step above Ezra. If you're not willing to do the red carpet, if you're not willing to do that kind of stuff, and Jonah also put limitations on how much press he would be willing to do for these movies. So Jonah's one little step above Ezra. The only thing missing is the kidnapping and the guns and the babies and the underage girls. But other than that,
so far,
kind of a lot missing there.
It is a lot, but if I'm just saying that's at the, you know, that's what you're expected. Look at the press for Barbie, for goodness sake.
Oh, it's everywhere.
Exactly. Think about, let's say Jonah, for whatever reason, had been hired to play Ken, or Ezra had been hired to play Ken.
Right.
Think about, okay, great, Margot's out there, and some others, where's Ken? Ken didn't feel like actually like promoting the movie because of his mental health, and he didn't really want to talk about it. So Jonah missed all these premieres, missed all of this kind of stuff. He needed to take that break for his mental health.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
much did he get paid for this? $15 million. Oh, so that was okay for his mental health, but actually doing the work is not.
Yeah, totally.
You know, that's, and I think that people don't realize that. Everybody goes, why are you hiring this person? They are a crap actor. Why are you hiring this person? they are a horrible human being. They're hiring them because the producers know people go see movies that these people are in.
Right. Yeah,
and
that's true.
That these people will bust their butt and do whatever. If Jimmy Fallon wants them to play, like, you know, Pong, you know, beer pong or whatever, they'll go, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever mm-hmm. you want me to do. You want me to sing karaoke with Adele or something like that, and I'm Tom Cruise? Yeah, you got it. I'll do it. You know, just whatever to make people think that they're likable and, gosh, I want to go see this movie. And that's their job. Think all the press with Barbie, that is their job, is to go sell the movie.
Right. I mean, even just the other day, Tom Cruise, he kind of crashed the premiere in Toronto of Mission Impossible, and he walked out and said hello to everyone and thanked everyone and then left.
Exactly. And you know what? That makes all the news, right? It's one thing. Okay, Tom Cruise was at Mission Impossible premiere. Oh, he wasn't supposed to be here. Oh, my goodness. He's shaking hands with everybody. He's talking to every single person. What makes the news? That.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And so, oh my gosh, he's just normal. He's just like one of us. Oh my gosh, he's so great. I can't wait to see him. Oh, you know, Maverick was so good. Oh, this Mission Impossible, it's going to be like exactly like the other seven Mission Impossibles, but this one's going to be different.
Oh my God.
Now, NT, what do you have to say about this other actress who came forward about Jonah Hill from, where was she from? Nickelodeon.
Alexa Nicholas.
Yes.
Yeah, so she was on Zoe 101 for a brief moment in time.
Right.
Yeah. And she has, you know, she is one of the only people who's really kind of come out and spoken against Dan Schneider.
Oh, right.
In
okay.
a more vociferous kind of way. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jeanette McCurdy has to some extent. But so Alexa said, hey, look, I was 16 years old. I was at this party. Mm-hmm. And everybody was drunk. And I was with my other 16-year-old friends. And Justin Long was there, and Justin Long's like 30 at the time. Yeah. And everybody knows we're like 16 years old because people have asked, and Jonah Hill like shoves his tongue down Alexa's throat.
Ugh.
And wants to have sex with her, and she says no, but her other friends were having sex with these other people.
Mm.
I'm really interested in this story just from the perspective of I'd really like to know what Justin Long has to say because he's Mr. Goody Goody.
Yeah, no kidding, right? And
that surprised me more than the Jonah Hill.
Hi, I'm a Mac.
Right. So all of a sudden, you know, Jonah Hill is being dragged into this. Seth MacFarlane was dragged into this. And Seth MacFarlane has always been kind of handsy with women, but there's never been any kind of, you know, accusations or any allegations about underage at all.
Yeah. Okay.
So now you've got Justin Long having to say, okay, well, yeah, there's this party. I was 30, and there were 16-year-olds there. But he's going to say, look, it was an adult party. People were drinking. They were smoking or whatever. I had no idea that they were 16. However, when it comes to things like statutory rape, you know, it's basically most crimes have, you have to have intent, right? There has to be you doing the act, and then you intend. Like, okay, I went to this person's house, and I saw the lawnmower. I thought that the lawnmower was mine. I took it. So you don't really meet the thing for theft because you have to intend to steal it, and you thought it was yours, and so you don't meet both of the things. But statutory rape is what they call a strict liability crime.
Okay.
And a strict liability crime means that if you don't check ID, you're at fault. If you think that they're 21, but you don't check ID and they're 16, you're at fault. There doesn't need to be intent. It doesn't even matter if you don't know how old they are. You're the one who's responsible for finding out if they're 18, and if they're not 18, you go to jail.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So it doesn't matter about intent. It doesn't matter that they're in an adult party. It doesn't matter that they were smoking, which is something you're only supposed to do if you're legal. It doesn't matter if they're drinking, if that's something, you know. It does not matter. It's a strict liability crime. It is the same as speeding or something like that, where it's, you know, the speed limit is whatever, 100 kilometers per hour, and you're going 110, you know, you think that the police are going to get rid of, you know, give you a break because you're not going that far over, but it is a strict liability crime. You went over the speed limit, you are in trouble, even if you're going 101, you know, and it's 100 kilometers an hour. So it's the same kind of thing, and you're responsible. So I'd like to hear Justin Long go, even if he goes something like, we thought that they were older, or whatever. And also, sure. I'd like to hear from Alexa's friends just to kind of get more corroboration on because she did say that her friends went off with some of these guys. So. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, NT, we're going to hear more stuff about Jonah Hill now? It's sort of like the Band-Aid has been ripped off, and I don't know, is he, what's going to happen? Nothing?
It's an interesting question, because most of the time, I would say that what his ex did, I think there was a lot of, well, you know, she waited a long time, you know, well, you know, I don't really want my girlfriend or my significant other or whatever to take those kind of pictures. Do I really want her to be seen in a thong and stuff like that?
Yeah.
But you could also see from her replies, like, I took this one down, I really don't want to take the surfing video one down. Can I put a different thing? Because it's my best surfing video. And, you know, she makes a living, you know, teaching surfing.
Sure.
And so you could see it, that kind of thing. And but there was this argument back and forth. You know, some people say this, some people say that. But what it did was all of a sudden we got the Justin Long story. All of a sudden we got the story from Alexa. All of a sudden we got the story from Seth MacFarlane. Mm-hmm. So if we get more of those kind of stories about it, then I think people go, okay, that was worth it. You know, look what she's done. She's, you know, turned over the rock, and all of these, you know, all of these people are running around. And I guarantee you that there's that few, you know, there's three or four stories. There's probably 30 or 40 stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting one. A lot of Swifties are up in arms about John Mayer yet again. It's that time of year. Is he consulting with lawyers?
We saw one of your blind reveals, and we need more information, please.
Yeah, so here's the deal, is that before, when we had Speak Now, the big machine version, you know, I think that John Mayer was, it was a different time period in his life. He was willing to take a little crap. I don't think that people were going after him with, you know, vitriol and death threats and stuff like that. It didn't really affect his business or his touring or anything like that, right? Yeah. It was just a minor annoyance.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fast forward, and we've had however many years now of people saying, well, Dear John's about John Mayer and the blah, 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 and just has been building and building and building and building, and everybody knew that the Speak Now version was going to come out. So, in anticipation of that, John Mayer's like, okay, well, I'm not putting up with it this time. And also, that's why you had Taylor, who also does her very, you know, fair share of blind items.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, all her songs are blind items.
Right.
But she does, she's not as, what she does is what I can't really do, is that she makes them super ambiguous. Because she wants people to think, oh, it could be this person, it could be this person, it could be this person.
Right.
Let me listen to it again. Let me listen to it again. Oh, every time I listen to it, it's 0.0005 of a cent. So let me listen. So the more, obviously, she can get people to listen and argue about it, then, or analyze the lyrics, then the more people are focused on her. Mm-hmm. And because it's ambiguous, and let's throw some Easter eggs and stuff like that. So she knows that John Mayer's not going to put up with it this time around. And what will happen is that if he doesn't, you know, he's not going to put up with it because people are actual death threats. And if it says, you know, what if it's some loon says, you know what, I can't believe he did that. I'm going to call in a death threat to his concert or whatever, and he has to cancel a concert or something like that.
Right.
So that's why you had Taylor say, you know, you guys, you think you know who this song's about, and I don't need you going around, you know, you protecting me for somebody you think that the song is about. And if something that happened to me 14 billion years ago when I was 19.
Yeah.
So she came out and said that. Like, you guys think, you know, she made it very clear that you guys think it's about somebody, and it's not, kind of, in a way.
Right.
But all it did was get everybody still more aggravated. And the so John Mayer's like, okay, look, something happens here, you know, there's going to be a lawsuit, and then Taylor's going to have to, you know, account for it, and she's going to have to say, no, this song is not about John Mayer. And then that's going to go against everything that, because she's never said no until recently when she said the whole thing about, you know, this song that you guys think it's about, or who is it about. And I think that she's worried about litigation, because only if something like, if John Mayer determines, look, I've had one too many death threats, and so then Taylor's going to have to go, look, you guys, this song, in order to avoid litigation, this song's not about John Mayer, please stop.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then everybody's going to go, well, why did you lead us on for a decade?
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, like, the sensible ones who've actually looked at it and who write binoms go, it's not about him. You know, so it's like, just because something's called Dear John, you know, yes, because that's how breakup letters went.
Yes.
Dear John.
There was a show called Dear John.
Exactly, right? Judd Hirsch. It has nothing to do with John Mayer. You know, it might not be the person that I've always said it's about, Martin Johnson. However, I think that it is. But I'm just saying, like, John Mayer's not going to put up with that kind of stuff. He's not going to be Jake Gyllenhaal'd. And, you know, because he's got a career. And he doesn't want people to, you know, boycott his music and stuff like that. He will not put up with it this time around, and that's why you got the sentence from Taylor, who's never done that before.
Right.
Gets up to perform the song and says, you know, it's not about who you think it is. I don't need you to protect me from it. Because your way to protect me is to do death threats and stuff like that, which is going to get me in a whole bunch of legal trouble. So stop.
And it's not just John Mayer's, like, tour. I mean, like, he's got the whole band that he tours with. That's, like, their livelihood. He's, you know, it's not a huge deal if a John Mayer show gets canceled or, you know, maybe he loses a couple album sales. But, like, it's like a whole band and whole crew of people that he's touring with, like, all the time.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, let's say he's at a hotel and somebody comes up to him and says, you know, you're scum or whatever, and throws, like, a drink at him because of the fact that some perceived slight against Taylor Swift that did not actually happen. So he is going to, and so Taylor is there at some point, if it comes to that, Taylor's going to have to unequivocally say that it's not him.
This is so interesting to me.
Yeah.
Huh, I wonder what's going to happen.
Well, nothing will happen if he, you know, is allowed to just kind of live his life or whatever. If something happens, if some kind of confrontation where something happens to John Mayer because a Taylor Swift fan goes overboard, that's when you're going to see something.
Oh, I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be so mad. So we have a solid date now. Britney Spears and her book, October 24th. Is that when the world is going to end?
No. It's going to be a quiet whimper.
Oh, man. I know you kind of been saying that, but I was hoping for something else. I think most of us were.
I think that everybody was probably expecting that because you're thinking to yourself, okay, so Britney, you're going to tell all your stories and we're going to hear about all this kind of stuff. And then you think to yourself, you know, can she really back up everything? Is she remembering everything correctly? And I think I've told you guys, you know, I know the guy who wrote the book, and Sam's a great writer. Sam Lansky is a great writer. He worked for Time Magazine as an editor for a while. He wrote his own book about his own life. It was optioned into like a movie or television show. He knows what he's doing. Sat down with Britney. I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to him about what he did or the interview process or anything like that. I'm just talking about my personal experience and knowing Sam and what he's capable of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, you know, it was originally, well, the last time we checked, it was like 340 pages, and now it's down to 288. I'm assuming that includes photos in the 288. I'm assuming that perhaps even to fill up more space, there might even be like a tour, like biography or discography or something like that.
Sure.
That's involved in that, which is making up some of the 288. Here's what I think is going to, and I hopefully I'm wrong. Maybe there's going to be all kinds of juicy stuff in there. This is what I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be, let's do 20 pages on Mickey Mouse Club and growing up, that kind of thing. Let's talk about 20 pages of Justin Timberlake, maybe even 30, and my first real romance kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Then let's talk about, you know, from Justin Timberlake over to meeting Kevin Federline, all that kind of stuff. Now we're up into the page 100 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then how much are we going to talk about me being locking the kids up and not letting them see anybody? Are we going to talk about, you know, the bodyguard who accused me of beating, you know, Sean Preston in front of him when Sean was 4? Are we going to talk about all the times that I had sex in front of bodyguards? Are we going to talk? No, we're not going to talk about any of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk about anything that makes Britney look bad. Are we going to talk about the conservatorship? Yeah. Are we going to say anything bad about Lou Taylor or anything? No. And you know why you can't say too much about the conservatorship? Because it's still an ongoing litigation thing. So you can't. All of a sudden, you're just like, let me say this and let me say that. Oh, so you're saying that in this book. okay, well, before you said that you couldn't be deposed because you didn't know this and this and this, but now you're saying this, okay, well, let's go ahead and depose you, you know? So there's an active litigation going on. So it is going to be the most generic kind of thing that you have ever read. Will it be a bestseller? Absolutely. Will it have anything in there that anybody doesn't already know? Yeah, I'm sure it will. Like, okay, well, Justin first kissed me wherever. Okay, fine. You know, sure. Let's talk about my marriage to Jason Alexander. Let's talk about, you know, why I did that in Vegas or whatever. I could see that kind of thing. But if you guys are expecting some kind of revelations where Brittany talks about, you know, the fact that she was like tied to a bed and drugged and kept unconscious for 3 weeks by her dad, not going to happen.
Okay. Wow.
NT, I feel like you could put out a book on the real Brittany.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be talk about the boyfriends, like the ones that were set up, like Larry, you know, the former manager guy that she was engaged to, who was going to become the co-conservator, and I think he actually became one for like a month, and then he was like, no, I'm done with this. Mm-hmm. And then there was the guy who worked at the law firm that she did. I think there's going to be stories about them. And then, oh, how I met the love of my life, Sam, and how I was on a music video, and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, you know, and then about our wedding. And it's going to be very generic, because also you have to realize, okay, the fact checkers who work for publishers, they're like, okay, well, Brittany said, like, in 2006 that she did this and this and this. Everybody's going to go, she wasn't even at that place in 2006 because she doesn't remember what she was doing in 2006.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I just, there's not going to be this, okay, well, what about, you know, the relationship with you and your mom? Okay, well, you know, it's pretty good. Obviously, she's not trashing her mom because they just got had a reunion.
Yeah.
So mom's not being trashed in the book. I doubt Jamie Lynn is being trashed in the book because there's talk of trying to, you know, come up with, and so who is she, you know, it's just, if you guys are expecting just some kind of jaw-dropping thing, it's not gonna happen.
Oh, sorry, Melissa, you're just gonna have to get around to
honestly,
finishing Spare.
I will say this, it's not surprising to me, but I was hoping for something else, but I hope you're wrong, but we know you're right.
No, I mean, I hope I'm wrong too. I just, what you're going to see is, okay, a Mickey Mouse Club, you know, Ryan Gosling and I, once we made out in a dressing room or something like that. Okay, great.
Cool.
How old are you? 12. How old are you now? Is it really relevant? But I mean, you might see something like that, something totally innocuous. And somebody's going to go, oh, Ryan, did you make out in the dressing room? And goes, I don't know. That was 30 years ago, dude. Yeah. I don't remember. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that, you know, you're going to see. Are you going to, you know, okay, what about the early days of, you know, before you got in the conservatorship, when you were going hotel to hotel and like doing drugs at each hotel and stuff like that? What was all that about? Do you think that's really going to be in there? No. So, no.
Speaking of Ryan Gosling, there's a lot of hype, a lot of talk about the Barbie movie coming out. What is it, next week?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Because, like, in my experience, when you see a movie like this everywhere, when you see it promoted constantly, when you see all of this stuff, my biggest fear is that it ends up sucking so bad.
Okay. Here's the thing, is that it's only Barbie and Oppenheimer, right? The two crowds do not, you know, they're not on the same Venn diagram, right? So people are going to go see Oppenheimer, which is, by the way, a far superior movie. It's going to be amazing. There's going to be Academy Awards just thrown at it. Like, just how many do you want? Let's just dump the box of them on top of you.
Wait, did you go see Oppenheimer in 70 mil?
Well, no, you're supposed to. I'm just saying, like, the sound and the visual, every single kind of special effects, audio, sound, anything like that, Academy Awards, just dump them on them, right?
Yeah.
They're just going to get them all.
Yeah.
So then you got Barbie. And there's nothing wrong with Barbie. I know a ton of people are looking forward to it and everything. One of the things that you can always look at, and, you know, you don't need dear old Auntie to tell you this, is that there is such a thing as embargoes. So reviewers get to see a movie long before anybody else. And they agree to a certain date that they can't talk about what they've seen.
Right.
That's just kind of part of the deal. And you can see it ahead of time, write your review, all this kind of stuff. So that way it's ready to go. You're not just rushing. That's number one. Number two is we're not going to have any kind of advanced screening for reviewers. So you know that movie is trash if they do that. Okay, if there's no advanced screenings for reviewers, you know the movie's trash.
Boo.
Or it's a horror movie, and they know it just doesn't matter. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, so with Barbie, they have this embargo date, and all of a sudden, they extended it a week until, like, the day before it opens. So that leads me to believe that they know that the reviews are going to be, at best, mixed and probably bad. But it doesn't really matter because the people who want to go see Barbie are going to go see Barbie.
Right. Yeah, like me.
If you decided, if you want to go see, like, some Adam Sandler movie pre-Netflix when he's doing some different kind of things, like Grown Ups, which is a fine movie, by the way, but it didn't get any great reviews. But people who want to go see Adam Sandler movies are going to go see Adam Sandler movies. They don't really care what people write about it.
Sure.
You know? So Barbie has this built-in crowd. I'm kind of surprised at how much they've spent promoting it because of the fact that they must have some really serious back-end deals that they don't want to pay money on, and because they add this to the cost, and so then the actors and actresses don't get it. Because you don't need to spend that much money. Everybody has known about Barbie for months and months and months and months. It kind of had a built-in kind of thing just because they were smart when they were filming it. They filmed it, you know, in L.A., like at Venice Beach and stuff. And so there's all these people taking photos already of everybody dressed up. So it had this kind of built-in thing. It had smart marketing. And the social media people, they did release from their embargo, at least to talk about the movie, not actual reviews, but social media people. They're like, oh my gosh, it's the best, it's the best, it's the best. I don't think you need that. I don't think that you necessarily needed to hold off the reviewers for a week because, again, people just don't care. They're going to go see Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same people that, you know, reviewers are, you know, maybe for something like Indiana Jones or The Flash or something like that. You know, you have the built-in DC people that are going to go see The Flash, and then everybody's going to read a review, or like I said months ago, I said the first hour is great, the second hour sucks. Are they going to fix it in time? And I said that back in April. Obviously, they didn't fix it in time, so the movie sucked for the second half. And so people go, you know, like a word of mouth, so the DC person goes, well, I'm not going to go see this five times like I normally would.
Yeah.
So that helped, you know, that hurts. And then the reviewers are like, the first hour is great, the second hour sucks. And so if you're on the fence about whether or not you want to see The Flash or some other movie, you go, you know, why don't we go see some other movie that the, you know, so that sort of matters. Barbie, it doesn't matter. Just everybody's going to go see it. So I don't really understand the whole hold back on the reviews.
Enty, what you are known for, your world famous celebrity blinds, what do you got?
Okay. So there is this former A-plus list singer who also acted a little bit, who is recently announced a divorce. And the reason he's getting divorced is because he had an affair with a porn star, which is going to come out.
Awesome.
Former A-plus.
Yeah. And actually, I'll even make it a little bit easier for you. Okay? I will make this a little bit easier for you.
It's Dwight Yoakam. You don't have to make it easy.
No, I'm making it easier. It's not Dwight Yoakam.
Jeez.
Okay.
Who does act very well, by the way, Dwight Yoakam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Four Christmases. So, anyway, this singer was A-list in a group and as a solo singer. And it's acting.
Is that Ricky Martin?
No, NT, are you serious? If it's who I think it is, if it is who I think it is, there have been cheating rumors in the past, yes?
Have there been cheating rumors in the past? I'm sure that there have been.
You could hear that in the mic. Thank you, though. Okay, well, Enty, thank you so much for that. That makes a whole bunch of sense, producer Melissa.
Well, I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
Enty, that's juicy.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we will, won't we?
I try, you know. try and give you guys the good stuff.
Well, Enty, you have an excellent weekend.
You too, you guys. Have a good time. Ed, Melissa, have a great time. Have a great weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.